Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, bonjour. In Spain, hola. In Italy, ciao. In Egypt, ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, akwaba. In Nigeria, peleo. In South Africa, sawbona. In Senegal, nangadef. In Kenya, jambo. In Israel, shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
I'm not saying it's a great challenge. It comes with...
Tune in to Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green on Thursdays at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear great topics and stories on grief and turn it into victory. Join Dr. Debbie Green to listen to stories of triumph and learn how to overcome. You are not alone in your life, and there is hope in the darkest hour. This is your time to learn strategies and solutions to improve your life. It's your time. So join Dr. Debbie Green with Soulful Solutions and call in on Thursday at 7 a.m. Central Standard Time and 8 a.m. Eastern Standard Time at 515-605-9325 with comments and questions. Look to hear from you real soon.
Lineup, we're going to be talking about narcissism. And if you don't know what a narcissist is, stay tuned. You'll learn a little something. Again, thank you for joining us. And if you're watching us on our YouTube channel, please subscribe and let us know what you think. We would love to hear what you have to say. I think the host is in the backstage. Let me introduce her. Good grand rising there.
Yes, grand rising. I am fantastic, blessed, and grateful.
Yes, yes, yes. Nothing like it. Nothing like it. Just to know where you are and be comfortable there.
Absolutely.
You know, yes. Just be content, even if you don't agree. As a good friend of mine says, well, I don't have anything good to say, I'll just say, I'm present.
I like that. I'm present.
I'm present. Which means I'm here. Yes. I'm here. I might be going through a little rough time here and there, but I'm present. That's
really
all that matters.
Like my father used to say, every day above ground is a blessing.
Exactly. Absolutely. Well, we have a great topic today. I know some people are very familiar with this topic. And if they're not, they're definitely going to learn something. Narcissism. And I want to remind people, the listeners especially, narcissism is a personality disorder.
Okay?
It is not just how people treat you. No, that person has a personality disorder. Narcissism is located actually in the Manual of Statistic Diagnostic for Mental Illnesses.
Ooh.
And about them and the severe narcissism. So narcissistic is a real thing. I think people just kind of put it into a category of, oh, that's just the way they are. You know, that's their characteristics or things of that nature. Well, what creates a narcissist? You know, how do they arrive? How do they come to be? You know, this particular person. And I want to give you some traits so that you will know exactly what it is, because some people have not heard of narcissistic behavior. So I want to, what I did, I have my take on it, but I want to give you the what they call the National Association of Mental Disorders. We call it NAMI for short. And narcissism can occur in anyone, you know. It's not a grown-up thing. You know, if it's passed on to children, it's because the grown-up had it prior. So you're saying, is it genetically inclined? It affects that child to a certain degree, yes. Will they grow up to be a narcissist? It's a great possibility if they have not changed between the time that they grew up with a narcissist. Narcissism is, again, a behavior that implicates actions and behaviors, thoughts and feelings of superiority. Some people will call it extreme pride or egotistical. Some will also say that they are very demeaning individuals. They're not emotionally available because it's all about me, me, me. It's all about me. I know what I'm talking about, and you don't. And even if I did that, you knew what you were talking about, I would sarcastically dumb you down the way you think you don't know what you're talking about. They're very good at mind manipulation, by the way. They're very good at mind manipulation, and we call them emotional manipulators. Emotional deceptionism. They are very unique individuals, and the individuals that are affected by their lives, if it's severe, it can turn out to be mentally harmful to them.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Because I have a theory, I guess, because I know some individuals who fit that description, and I noticed a pattern in terms of the way they were raised. They were raised by parents who were very demeaning of them, put them down, shamed them, humiliated them, called them bad names, you know, made them feel inferior. And so they then, just like the child who was beaten and abused becomes a bully, because they've been made to feel bad, they think they can make themselves feel better by making others feel bad. That's what I've observed in terms of the pattern of those who were raised that way by parents who themselves, like you should say, were narcissists, demeaning, put down, not encouraged. Because some parents think that the way you motivate a child is to make them have to fight to try to prove that they're better than what you say they are. So they think that by putting them down, that's making them stronger. But what I've observed is that that's the kind of child that grows into the narcissist, the person who learns how to put others down the way they were put down. So that's my theory of where that comes from. It's passed down from parent to child. But, you know, what have you observed? What do you know that creates that behavior?
Well, it's several things that create it, but it's more likely to be found in men than the women. So, because we're talking about the father figure, okay? So the father figure is this father figure speaks derogatory to his children, to his wife, you know, and derogatory is anything that's demeaning. Anything, it doesn't matter, because narcissists are famous for denying what they say. They minimize everything because they feel that they know the best way to handle something, so they minimize it. Mm-hmm. So if they're minimizing, you know, behavior when it comes to their children, telling them that, you know, making them feel in some type of way that their actions are deflated, not important, not acknowledged, not praised, any of those areas, mm-hmm. on a common, conditional, consistent type of thing, then that person grows up to be have, you know, either one of two things. They either have very low self-esteem, mm-hmm. or very high self-esteem, but more so not the healthy, but meaning that I have to prove to
yes.
others who I am.
Yes, yes.
So, which means that I'm whoever I have to step on to get to that point, that's what I'll do.
Yes.
So they become emotionalists, you know, when it comes to people's feelings, and they do not allow their feelings to be touched. They do not allow that, like, you would want to express yourself to a narcissist, they'll only give you minimum of emotional, you know, I call it presence. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, they may tell you they love you, but you better be careful because they may want something from you,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, their love is most of the time is very conditional. And if they don't get it, they will act like they're the victim. See, it's two sides to narcissism. You have that highly opinionated side, you know that area where, I am the one that matters. You know, don't you understand that you're doing this to me, and you're not doing anything, but they make you think that you are, so that they can stay in control.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the mind game that they play, right? So if you believe everything and are led into this little entanglement, then you'll find yourself being what they call emotionally invisible. And you'll start living for them and you won't live for yourself. And other people will be able to see it, but you won't be able to see it. You'll get entangled. And that entanglement comes with a lot of emotional baggage. Yeah, you have to really be careful with that. There's no treatment for narcissism, okay? And it can't be, you know, when I say treatment, it can't be cured. You know, like, completely.
So this is the personality that they have, unless they have some kind of spiritual awakening where they see themselves and decide
yes.
to change.
Yes. And one of my clients some time ago, and he was a male, I think he was like 40 years old, and he was saying that, you know, his family, he grew up with a narcissist, and so this type of behavior he did also with his family. He noticed that he created strangers in his house because people wouldn't, you know, he didn't understand, you know, why people were, like, people, which is his family members, you know, they didn't, They trusted him, but the love was so cold because every time they would try to get close to him, that, you know, he would always push them away in the self-sabotage. Like, you know, I don't want you too close to me because if you are, then I'm going to have to change to who I am, you know. Mm. So I want to stay the same. So what happens is he then began to become addicted to alcohol. And that was also one of the traits of his father. He was an alcohol with narcissism, which is the worst kind.
Ooh.
The worst kind. And he then got to a point where his youngest child told him, said, Daddy, why don't you love me? I don't understand why you keep pushing me away. You know, I'm never good enough for you. And he was 7 years old when he told him that, and that woke him up. So he came to look for therapy for it. And again, it is not a cure until that person becomes aware of their own actions and starts to change themselves. But it's not the psychotherapy that changes them. It's that when they have that, like you said, a spiritual awakening, a mental, a whole awakening of like, wow, this was me and this is me and I am the person that has to change. I have to let the love come back in me because the love was never there in me in the first place. You see what I'm saying? So that's when he did, and he admitted that. He said, I grew up this way. I didn't understand what love is. I never had a hug. I never had, you know, a pat on the shoulder saying I did this. It was always do as I say and do what I mean. That's it. It was never a sense of, oh, did you accomplish something? No, you never accomplished anything. And I found myself doing that with my children. So when I realized that I was repeating the same patterns of my father, that's when I stopped doing it.
I have another question because I have friends who believe, especially male children should not be what they call it babies. You know, like you have to make your son tough. You know, you don't get all that babying and tell him, oh, you did a good job, or, you know, always tell him you can do better, you know, or how come you just got a B, you didn't get an A, or, you know, why did you lose that game? How come you didn't hit that ball, or how come you didn't make that shot? You need to practice more. I mean, just believing that it's this harsh, militaristic way that you should treat your boy children. And I've known fathers that felt that way. You know, you hug the girls, you know, you tell them they're pretty, you know, you say all the kind things to encourage them because they're girls, but boys, you got to make them tough, you know. And so they're believing that that's the way you're supposed to parent your children of different genders. And what I observe is that the boys end up with a lot of emotional problems and difficulties forming relationships. The girls, maybe they're just fine, but the boys are damaged. But the fathers, because that's how they were raised, they think that's what you're supposed to do to boy children. Could you speak to that, please?
Yes. If you actually rear your child to not be emotionally available for itself, because that's what you're talking about, and looking at life from a non-feeling part of life, you know, like, and again, this is something that's genetically and environmentally inclined, because apparently that person that is rearing or raising their children like that grew up in that same household. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? So, which, again, if you are not to feel its own feelings, not to be emotionally available for another human being, then you're literally creating a narcissist, whether you realize it or not. And these individuals get angered very easily. They get agitated. They're very temperamental. They're very short, patient individuals. They have more broken relationships than they have stable relationships. They don't see the forest for the trees, as I would say, but they don't have a clear understanding. They struggle in it, you know. They struggle in that clear understanding of how am I supposed to feel about someone that I love, you know.
Yeah.
They love is a little distorted right there because, again, they if you can't feel emotions, you don't really know how to filter, if this makes sense. Mm-hmm. Filtering, like, you know, you're not going to feel guilty because you think it's not your issue, it's not your fault. It's always someone else's. It's never yours. Someone else has the issue. Someone else has the problem. And if you are hurt by them with any type of action or behavior, you will not let them know. You will only get vengeful. See, that's the part right there that's the dangerous part. You get vengeful because you're thinking, you know, that someone's against you. You find people to be imminent, fearfully inclined. Like, you know, you're doing this to me, so this is what I'm going to do to you. And it doesn't, in any way you choose, if you got to manipulate them, if you got to be deceptive, it doesn't matter as long as you get your way.
And again, the personality that's formed by parents that don't know how to adequately express love and are demeaning and cruel verbally to a child.
Yeah, it's again, it can be passed down in genetics because, you know, the mother or father, whoever the narcissist is, will treat their children this way, and it will continue on. And we're talking about, you know, father co-parenting in that area, in that same degree. And a person can also marry a narcissist. Maybe not. They may not know that they're narcissistic, or they could be caught up in the web. Now, you get caught up in the web, you know, you get entangled. You think, oh, you know, it's me. I'm the problem. I caused them to say what they have to say, because if that person has low self-esteem, they'll always think it's their fault.
So does that personality type tend to attract the other, like the person who is the narcissist attracts the person with low self-esteem? And those kind of relationships, I mean, they may last because... Both of them
feed
each other. I mean, the narcissist puts down the person with low self-esteem. The person with low self-esteem, they are. It's confirmed to them that they're defective by the person who's the narcissist. So they feed each other's need, I guess, or defect, more or less.
Well, they come off as, hey, I know what's best for you. Mm-hmm. This is how they come off. Like when they first meet you, they may love bomb you. They may take you on elaborate this and do this, do that. But I know what's best for you. Mm-hmm. You'll hear that at first. And if a person has low self-esteem and they may not, you know, they may be looking for this person to be superior, to lead in their life, they're going to think they found the best thing in the world. You know, I know what's best for you. I know what clothes you should wear. I know, and they will buy you clothes. They will buy you shoes. They will buy, you know, but you understand they're changing you into what they want you to be.
I want you to look like
you. You know, they're just changing what they want you to be. So then the next step is this. Oh, I don't think you need to be talking to that person. Who are you talking to on the phone? I don't think you need to be working there.
So next thing you know,
your family has issues. I don't think we need to go to their house.
So next thing you know, you're cut off from any other support system that you would have.
If you had any. Because they don't want you. No, they want to be in control.
So you can't even get a second opinion when you're feeling that there's something wrong because you've cut off.
And they will convince you that they're right. They'll come up with every excuse, explanation, and twist that thing and twist that thing and twist that thing. You know I know what's best for you. Haven't I been doing this so-and-so? Because you've been giving them the opportunity to do it. Haven't I been doing this for you? Look what I've gotten you. I got you this wonderful, beautiful house. Don't I buy you clothes? Don't I do this? Don't I do it? Don't you see I know what's best for you? Don't you understand that I have been doing this for you? It ain't funny, y'all. It's not, because people really get really messed up after. I guess because I've seen it. Mm-hmm. I've seen a person that comes in with codependent mindsets, and here comes a narcissist. Oh, we got a big problem.
Now, this is what I've seen, and I don't know if this fits into the category, particularly with women. If they have self-esteem issues and maybe they don't feel like they're very attractive and they end up in a relationship with someone who's seen as very attractive, and maybe, you know, wealthy, famous, whatever, you know, somebody who's considered very desirable, and they get with this woman who's considered maybe very plain, not particularly physically appealing, and the man will make the woman feel like, well, you're lucky to have me, you know, even if he has other relationships or even if he kind of snubs her around other people, but she takes it because she's feeling like, you know, I'm lucky to have someone who looks like that and who's popular, and so she might even accept being treated rudely sometimes because of her feeling of not being good enough for that person. So, you know, like you say, well, I do this for you, I do that, well, I bought you these clothes, you know, I'm trying to make you look better, I'm trying to, you know, fix you up, I know what's best for you, that kind of thing. And if the woman doesn't feel worthy within herself, she'll accept mm-hmm. a relationship with someone who doesn't really make her feel good about herself, but just makes her feel like, you know, she should be grateful to get whatever attention she gets from this
right.
very desirable person who everybody else wants. So, you know, that kind of thing. So is that kind of a narcissistic type of relationship?
It is. That sounds like anywhere between mild and moderate. Yeah, it is. Yes. Because a person, again, that doesn't have self-worth or self-value, they are prey to a narcissist. Because, again, he or she is going to put all their attention on them. Because they want, they love control, so this, you know, as long as they are allowing that, they will always be there. Now, this is the part that is a little unsettling, is when they decide to leave. Mm. When they really realize that they were in this relationship with a narcissist and they have been manipulated and led astray for so long, and now their eyes are open and they may want to go into another relationship. The narcissists don't play fair. They play dirty.
Mm. It's like, how dare you do this to me? Who do you
think
you are?
Yeah. They don't, no, they'll go as far as come on your job. They will, they'll, any way they can cause a, they'll get very vengeful if it's severe. Now, mild, they may just argue with you and leave you alone. Moderate, you know, you may have a little back and forth, but a severe narcissist, no, they will stalk you. They will come around your home uninvited. Mm-hmm. You know, because they're bullies
mm.
to a certain degree. You know, it's because it's superior. It's about me. How dare you not pay attention to me? I created you. You were nothing when I found you.
I think of that movie on Ike and Tina Turner.
Ike was definitely a narcissist. If you want to, I didn't think about that, Naima.
Yeah.
That's a great example of a narcissist. Controlling, and they don't care. They don't care if they will take, I don't care if it's sex, they'll take your mind, they'll take your spirit. They are just very unsettling people. And that's a nice way of saying it.
Mm. Yeah.
And in that movie, you can see, because when she raised up on that last part, you know, that's when she took his power from him. She took his power from him. And that's how you have to do a narcissist. You got to look them in their face and take their power. Running away from them? No, you got to take their power from them. And you literally, otherwise, yeah, because they'll take yours if you don't take theirs.
Mm.
You literally have to stand up and look them in the face and know, we ain't doing this. And whatever I have to do to get rid of you, that's what I'm going to do. You know, other than take you off this earth, you know.
Mm. Well, you know, I have a friend who is going through a difficulty in a relationship. And I guess we'll time for a break. I guess we can talk about it when we come back, and you can let me know if that is something treatable, or is it a situation she should just leave? And sometimes the even though people are being treated badly, they will think, but I love them, you know, I love him anyway, you know, he does this and he does that, but they wish the abuse would stop, and they stay for the good times, but then the abuse comes with it. But anyway, we'll talk about that.
Okay.
And if you would like to call in, 515-605-9325 and press 1, and we will certainly take your calls. And we've got a caller on the switchboard. We'll go to our caller first. It's like a 312 area code. Yes, okay. Well, we'll be right back after this quick break. So we want you all to stick and stay. Don't stray away. We'll be back in a moment. So stay with us.
We have an opportunity to transform the whole global society in the next 50 years. 50 years from now, the Earth will be populated by a new generation of adults, many of whom are yet unborn. Our mission is to nurture them in childhood with love, guidance, and protection, and to raise them in healthy, happy families. If we impart values of compassion, generosity, and respect for fellow human beings in the next generation of children, they will create a world where people can live together in peace. This is our goal. Be a part of the transformation. Get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. Go to www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced. And we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And you were talking about a relationship. Things gone bad. Let's hear a little more about that.
Yes. Well, of course, there's always good and bad in every relationship. But what – we had a caller that dropped. I guess when they come back, we'll take their call. But – This is a long-term relationship, and my friend basically is. Oh, we're gonna go to caller 312-597. Hold on, come in just a moment. Basically, they're in a relationship that's not physically abusive, but highly verbally abusive, with someone who is short-tempered and says nasty things to them when they get angry, and it hurts their feelings. And when they say, well, you know, that really hurt my feelings, why, you know, you need to stop being such a baby, you know, and you know, she even resorts to crying, you know, to try to get sympathy. That doesn't, you know, becomes more angry, you know, and but he's very generous in terms of, you know, money and buying things. So it's like she's trading being put down and verbally abused for getting expensive gifts or whatever, you know, okay, well, he pays the bills or, but she finds she's depressed all the time. And, you know, her question was, how can I make him treat me better? And, you know, my thought was, why don't you treat yourself better and leave? But, you know, now there's financial dependency, so, you know, she stays for that. So is that one of those relationships where you willingly decide to just stay trapped in a place where you're being treated badly because you are financially dependent and you're not feeling loved, but you're financially taken care of, but it's destroying you on the inside in terms of your self-esteem? And, you know, she's afraid to stand up to him. In essence, he's, you know, bigger, stronger. And she's afraid that the verbal abuse could easily turn into physical abuse. So she more or less maintains the timid role. But still, over time, you know, if you're depressed all the time, then how is that a good, loving relationship? So her question to me was, how can I make him treat me better? What is your answer to that?
I'm going to log on. Actually, one of our Facebook viewers, our wonderful Tuesday host, Jody Suzanne, hello, my dear. Using money to manipulate. Absolutely. Absolutely. Because guess what? It's equally bad. All right? That is the bottom line. See, this is when the relationship, remember I was telling you earlier, oh, I made you. Mm. I take care of you. How dare you not understand or don't agree or criticize who I am at any time. You're being such a baby. Okay, it's a good chance this man actually grew up with parental narcissism. Mm-hmm. That sounds like something he heard,
yeah,
when he was a child.
When he cried.
Because he's dealing with inner child issues.
Yeah. So you get no sympathy.
If she's not accurately, mentally and emotionally enough to really realize it is a form of major manipulation. Mm. And she'll stay in that trap right there. She'll stay there because she thinks this is where she's supposed to be, hoping, believing one day he'll wake up to feel her emotionally. I don't know how long they've been together, but if it's over a year, it ain't happening.
Oh, it's several years. So, yeah.
Oh! Yeah. I'm so sorry to tell her that. It's not happening. And you know what I've learned? I've learned that their makeup, I mean, biological brain is different.
Hmm.
It's a neurobiological area in the brain that literally is, you know, affected by genetics and environmental stimuli, okay? But they are different people altogether.
Mm, so the capacity for empathy is different. When you,
exactly.
You don't feel anything when you hurt people. You don't even feel. Well, we've got a caller on the line, area code 312-597. Your mic is open. Please introduce yourself to our listening and viewing audience. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green regarding narcissists.
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Okay, great, ladies. Great topic. This is a Kuku James, Chicago. I was recently, hello.
Yeah.
I was recently called a narcissist by my daughter.
What happened that triggered her to call you that? Was there a conversation you had or an argument?
Well, I'm trying to develop a relationship with her, and she's like, "Dad, you call me heaven." I said, "Yeah." I said, "Because," she said, "Why?" I said, "I want you to know that heaven is within you. I want to be called angel." Okay. So I call her Dada, Daddy Angel. And she's like, "Dad, you always try to control everything. You give me too much. You're telling me what to do. You're doing this and doing that." And I'm like, what am I supposed to do as a father? Well, I got to think for myself. And I want to look at the other side of a narcissist, okay?
The other side, okay.
A narcissist, or whatever you want to call it, is a person that wants you to meet them halfway.
Mm-hmm.
Dialogue, discussion. And this is one of the points that I've had coming on a Female Solution. You know, we come on and give our opinions or whatever, but I like dialogue. And sometimes a narcissist, you know, if you want to, you know, tag them like that, you know, they want conversation. They want dialogue, you know, because they can be controlling financially or whatever because they're looking at you and the situation, and they're looking at your needs. They're looking at your needs. Well, I'm providing for you. You need to let me run things. I'm providing for you. But this is really big. But a relationship is non-controlling. A relationship is give and take. So when you have a relationship with someone, you have to tell them what they mean to you, what the relationship means to you.
Let me ask you,
I told my daughter all the time, I'm just trying to be a good daddy. I know you're doing too much for me.
So how old is she now?
I want to think for myself. You know, you always got a gift for me. You're always trying to give me something. And I was like, wow.
So, Kofi, how old is your daughter?
I was like, well, teach me something. "Well, Dad, you don't know my favorite color." And she cried. I said, "What's your favorite color?" "Yellow." "I'm sorry." So your topic is kind of hitting home with me, where I think a person who has been labeled as a narcissist needs to listen.
Yeah.
Not trying to control and dictate the relationship, because a relationship is a two-party thing.
Can't hear. I don't really can't hear.
It's a two-party interaction.
And
I want you guys to talk about the healing of that. You know, not just subject or just a narcissist where people will run from them, but have a relationship. Because a lot of people are running from relationships, you know, because a person is dominant or dictating, because I got more money than you, or I got more knowledge than you.
Yeah.
You know, I want you know, the sister to kind of express, how can a person relate with a narcissist?
So are you able to hear us?
Heal the situation, not just run from the situation, but I think with my daughter, I need to listen more. You know, she has, and I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna shut up. She has a 3.4 honors grade point average, and she's like, I said, "What do you want to do now?" "I want to do hair." I said, "Well, why don't you go and try to apply for some scholarship?"
Okay, well, hold on. Let's address what you just said. Let's address what you just said.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Koofy, I got it.
All right.
So. I've been wondering all this time I've been listening to you. Over, for quite a long time. And your daughter pinned it. She pinned it, P-I-N. She pinned it. Okay? And the thing about this is, you're a good dad. You're a wonderful father. But you got to learn how to feel, my dear. Feel your emotions. You got to feel your children. You know, being a good provider doesn't just mean, you know, "Oh, I give you things. I make you feel good by taking you here and taking you there." That's why she said, "Dad, why you just keep giving me things? I need you to feel me. I need you to feel my heart. I need you to listen to my words in depthly."
Yeah.
And understand where I'm coming from, because I'm getting older now, Dad.
Yeah.
And I'm noticing that if I don't tell you now, then you may not understand what my actions later on, that I may need to, you know, not be around you so much. And I don't want you to think I don't love you, but I need you to love me from a place called love, without tangible items.
Right.
Now, that might be something different for you. That may be something you may not be accustomed to doing. But it's an extreme necessity to raising children. You see what I'm saying? You can tell them what they shouldn't be and what they're not from where you sit as the man that you are and how you were raised or reared in your household, you know, between your parents. But again, children of the modern day children, that's what I call them, the 2000, you know, millenniums or Generation X or whatever you want to call them, they're a little different, because they're going to tell you what they feel. Feel, not just what they think. They're going to tell you what they feel. And you have to sit back and listen to their feelings and know how to respond without injury. It's not criticism. It's awareness, sir. I am self-aware of myself and my feelings with my children, and I am feeling them from my heart, not just for what I think I should be or what I think they should be.
Yeah. I think also as our children grow up, they evolve into who they have chosen to become. and it may not be what we think they should be, and they can feel if you're still trying to mold them and they're past the stage of you defining for them what they should be. And if they're in their teen years and, you know, they've evolved into the personality that they are, then they need you to accept whatever they have defined as themselves. And if you're having conversations, you might not realize when you're not listening to them. And, or if they give you feedback, you're not accepting their answer or you're not accepting their decision because it isn't what you wanted to hear. Sometimes we can think we're having a conversation with someone, and it isn't really a conversation. It's us reprimanding or us correcting or us dismissing, you know, but it isn't us listening and accepting. So give and take is just that. You give, they take. They give, you take. And sometimes we want to give and we want them to take, but we don't want to take what they're giving. And that's not really a conversation where you're sharing feelings and accepting feelings and not trying to direct them on what they should be because you know best because you're the parent. And many of us who were parented that way by parents who didn't know how to accept us as we grew into our adulthood or even adolescence, then we don't know that's what you're supposed to do, that a human being has the right to be who they are no matter what age they are. Then there's a point where you have to let go as a parent and realize they have become who they are and you can't make them be what you think they should be because they've reached that point of self-definition. And sometimes we just need to listen and accept. Even if no one modeled that behavior for us, we need to learn how to do it for our children.
Absolutely. And, you know, I've learned over the years that, and even though my views may be my views, I had to step back and allow my children, for example, my children to be. And even if I said, okay, you may be going in the wrong direction, but then I still had to allow them to learn and not be the blocker all the time. And because that is, sometimes people feel control when you just don't let, okay, let me experience it. I know you may think it's wrong. You may think I'm going in the wrong direction or whatever, but let me experience it. So when I experience it, at least I'll know what to do with it if I ever come across it again and you're not present.
Right. And, you know, a lot of times it's really hard, especially when our teenagers start getting into relationships. And I know fathers want to protect their daughters from making wrong choices because you can see through a character and they can't. And sometimes you can't protect them from making what you foresee as a disastrous choice because they do have to learn. The important thing is to be the person that they can come to and you not make them feel bad or say, well, I told you so, or that's you get or whatever. You make them feel bad for experiencing something painful. That's what sometimes makes a person stay in a bad relationship longer than they should because they don't want to hear I told you so, or they want to make it work and prove people wrong instead of being able to acknowledge, oh, okay, well, I didn't see this coming. Well, now I know, but my parents will still love me even though I went against their wishes and got involved with someone who didn't treat me well. So that's
right.
That's also something we need to learn how to do as parents. Let our children learn from their mistakes sometimes. I mean, if it's not life-threatening, you know, then sometimes we need to help them best by letting them learn so that they can understand how to judge character. They can understand when they see certain traits in a person that this is something that's not going to be in their best interest. But you can't protect your children from life. You have to let them grow up, and that means making their own decisions, even when those decisions are not what you would choose for them. The only way they're going to learn something is through experience.
Exactly. Exactly. And I just want to share also with Kofi, if he's still listening, one of our Facebook views as well as our Friday host, Vietta Robinson, stated, Grand Rising Sisters, men should listen to their daughters. Glad he's having a conversation because they don't listen well.
Yeah.
And it's not that, again, not at a criticism. Please do not take it as that. Take it as an enlightenment. Take it as, you know, because a lot of times we don't see everything. We can't. We don't know everything. We don't. You know, we only know what we know. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the characteristics, again, are passed down genetically and environmentally, you know, through our being. And we want to be sensitive to another human being. And that's not overly sensitive, not underly, but just sensitive. That means if I'm emotionally available for myself, if I feel my own pain, then I should be able to also feel yours as well. Any discomfort that you may have, if I say a word, if I do an action, a behavior, I should have some type of, you know, intuition to say, whoa, that hurt you. And if I can't feel that in the moment, then there's a good chance that, you know, there's a blocker right there, and that thing is called fear.
Mm.
You know, I think Jodi had actually, and, you know, because this is what she wrote, Jodi Cezanne, my husband and I just went back 20 generations to break the cosmic contract. One of us was feeling trapped by another person, and we now have relief. So which means that it's a lot of our genetics and our ancestral lineages, things that are passed down.
Behavior.
But again, the children of today, I don't care if they're 5 to 25, and I call them children of today, they acknowledge their pain. They'll let you know, I'm uncomfortable. And sometimes we as parents we think, what are you talking about? You know, you shouldn't be uncomfortable because this is the right thing to do. What you're talking about is things. No, we need to listen from a platform called awareness.
Yeah.
Let me be aware of what you're talking about. Let me understand where you're coming from instead of thinking that everything you're doing may be wrong. Maybe I can learn something from you.
Absolutely.
You know, even though you've not lived as I lived, but I can still learn. I can learn how to treat you, how to love you. Don't you? That's the one thing that most parents struggle in, how to love their children. Ask your children. You ask them, how can I love you better? Not just buying you, you know, a pair of Nikes or you know, buying your brand new car when you're 16. No, that's not love, baby. That's tangible items.
Yeah.
Love comes from the inner person to the inner person.
Right. Yeah.
From your inside of you to the inside of them. And if they don't feel that, and you ask them, do you feel loved by me? You know, am I loving you correctly? I mean, what is it that if you don't feel the love that I want you to feel, tell me how I should love you, you know? And that comes with understanding of treatment, to receive and to give unconditionally, without reprimand all the time, you know, without commanding, without demanding anything. Sometimes we have to just remain neutral and just be an active listener. I don't know if you're not an active listener. Active listening is like you sit back and you start observing. Because I think Kofi said, I just want dialogue. Okay, you want someone to tell you what they think and what they feel, but are you actively listening? Because if you are assuming or prejudging, that's not active listening.
Right. Yeah, that
it's got to be there.
Yeah. And sometimes we have to learn these skills because we were raised by parents who didn't listen. And
right.
The generation before us, they were not taught that you have to listen to your children or that you should care about your children's feelings. You know, a lot of the parenting skills they had were passed down to them from parents who basically came through the era you know, children should be seen and not heard, that kind of thing. So we're right. growing out of that kind of dismissing of a young person's feelings, and we're realizing that every human being deserves respect at all ages. So we have to even learn some new parenting skills based on love and not fear, and not instilling fear in a child where they're afraid to come to us with their questions or their problems or their mistakes, because our first response is criticism, demeaning them and punishing them, because that's how many of us were raised, by parents who were raised the same way,
yeah.
parents were raised the same way. So now we have an opportunity to learn better and do better. So, and a lot of it is listening and accepting that our children are who they are and allowing them to be who they're becoming.
And when we come back after break, I really want to also address that this living in an environment of a narcissism, maybe that person that you might have saw them treat another human being that way, another family member, okay? They may have not done that to you, but they did it to another family member. You see what I'm saying? And being in that environment as a child also has a, you know, an influencer.
Right.
So we want to definitely talk about that. And some of the characteristics of narcissism, I want to dive into that as
right.
well.
We've got a few more listeners on the switchboard with hands raised. And, of course, we'll be right back with more with Dr. Debbie Green. And if you are watching on Facebook or YouTube, the channel, Dr. Debbie Green, Soulful Solutions, with Dr. Debbie Green, we want you to write in your comments. We'll share them with our listening and viewing audience. And thank you all who have shared your thoughts. And we'll be right back after this next break. So
we want to help you, Kofi.
Yes.
We want to help you.
Yes, we're your family. We're going to help. All right. We will be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
I'm Beata, your holistic life coach. These days, it's more important than ever to work on your physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual health. Are you consciously breathing deeply in stressful moments? Do you have a plan or daily routine to maintain balance in your awesome body? Are you struggling to be disciplined in your eating habits? When you partner with me, I'll help you develop a personalized health plan that works for your particular lifestyle. You can find out more about me at yourholisticlifecoach.com, where you can also review my 3-step protocol to guide you to abundant health. That's yourholisticlifecoach.com, and I'm Viato.
Hi, this is John Alexander.
And I'm Naima Latif. Meet people like you who are making a positive difference in the world.
Big difference.
Watch us every day on The Media Connection at www.youtube.com/TheMediaConnectionTV.
YouTube it. We'll see you soon.
There are people who choose to make a positive difference in the world. Our job is to bring you their stories to motivate you to do the same. Join us each week, host John Alexander and Naima Latif, as we bring you the educators, entertainers, elected officials, religious leaders, and community activists whose works are transforming this world. Find out how you can make a difference, too. Be inspired. Watch The Media Connection.
Mondays at 5 p.m. and Tuesdays at 12 noon on cable TV, Channel 19 in Chicago. And other cities, check your local cable listings.
Join us every second Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time, here on the Female Solution Global Radio TV show for Neighborship of Joy.
We'll have powerful conversations inviting women to walk in the light.
So call in 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak to the host.
Solution Facebook page and YouTube channel.
So see you on the second Saturday on the Neighborship of Joy.
My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. And before we went to break, I wanted to kind of emphasize on the environmental stimuli when it comes to narcissism. Even if a person grew up with non-direct, which means they might have saw their mother or their father treat the other component of the parental influencer, with a narcissistic behavior. And even just watching that, you know what I'm saying, they start to develop different things. Like, for example, if the father was the narcissist and the mother may have had, you know, the low self-esteem and never stood up for herself, and, the boy child, for example, watched this for a period of time, he will then think that women are weak automatically. So it's a good chance that he will then grow up thinking that he has to be the manipulator, he has to be in control, just as his father did. Even though, again, he didn't experience this from the plateau of, oh, it's being done to me, but just watching it in that environment, that's what happens. It shapes and forms the personality of the child, because those are growing years. I don't care, like I said, from 3 to 17, you know, those are growing, molding years. The personality is not even developed until you're 18. So you're getting all these traits, all of this, what they call unexpressive, you know, emotionalist type of environment, and you're like, okay, and when you actually grow up and then you go to school, you may see someone you like or whatever, and to you, you think, well, I need to talk down to that person because they may like me better if I tell them, oh, you're going out with me today. I'm taking you to the prom. You ain't asking nobody. You're just telling them. Yeah. And if that person doesn't realize what's going on, they're like, okay, I'll take you to the prom. And, and I see this in adolescent kids. I'm talking about from like 13 up to 17. And can you imagine a 14-year-old in a relationship like that with another teenager?
Well, yeah.
And then it goes from verbal abuse to physical abuse?
You live what you learn.
That's scary.
I was surprised even in high school. You know, we had relationships where, you know, so-and-so gets beat up by their boyfriend. I mean, yeah, and all the children know the relationship that are abusive. But it's kind of like this is how they have chosen to be with each other. This is what they learned. And you have some people who learn that someone who's a controlling and abusive partner is expressing love, because that's, like you say, that's what they saw growing up. But now, I've seen
right.
the reverse, because I don't want men to think we're bashing you.
Oh,
I mean,
no, it's men and women that are narcissists.
Can,
it's just more productive than men.
Because it's been more culturally encouraged
mm-hmm.
for men to be extremely dominant over women. And
right.
If the majority of the people in the culture agree that this is acceptable, then there isn't anyone to enlighten them to the fact that it's never acceptable to be mistreated. And daughters learn from the women in their society what is to be expected in terms of how they're to be treated. So if in many of the households, women are modeling the behavior of accepting verbal and maybe
mm-hmm.
even physical abuse, then that becomes the acceptable behavior in a society. And I think we mentioned this, the sister from Nigeria that came on one of our shows. Zombie,
yeah, Mercy.
Yeah, Mercy,
mm-hmm.
that was talking about how they've been written in the law. This is how you beat your wife. So, you know, it tells something internally in you, the spirit in you, the spirit of life, the spirit of God in you, reminds you that this is inappropriate, then you will easily accept this as acceptable behavior. And
right.
Often, like you mentioned, when you defy a narcissist and there's anger, when we have a whole culture where men have learned this, and then the women have an awakening, and we're seeing this happen in different parts of the world, there is outrage and an attempt to repress the women who are now awakening to the fact that this is unacceptable. So it becomes a revolutionary kind of move, and it's difficult for that generation that makes the decision to change the cultural acceptance of mistreatment, because they may not be getting support from anywhere other than within themselves saying, no, we will no longer allow this. And so
this is
what has to happen if you're going to grow up as a person. You do not allow yourself to be mistreated. That's a violation of the self. But I have seen relationships and seen the children of the relationships where the dynamics are reversed. Maybe the mother is extremely domineering, controlling, verbally abusive.
Right.
The father takes it for whatever, however way he was conditioned to take that kind of abuse. Maybe he grew up with a domineering mother. And so the children, you know, everybody in the household is afraid of the mother. And she's the one who controls things with her tongue, her verbal abuse. And, you know, she may even physically abuse the children when they were children. But now it's the psychological abuse. And so everybody is kind of timid, unsure, low self-esteem, afraid of the male
angry.
And female children, you know. And
So
you might get one child out of the whole bunch that rebels, and they're the one that's ostracized because they've chosen to stand up for themselves. They might even get put out the house because how dare you defy me, you know. And I've seen family dynamics like that, where everybody is accepting this abusive form of parenting, and it's from the female parent. And the father does not step in and you know, create any kind of balance. So you have somebody's ego run amok, and it's affecting everybody. And the only way you get out of it is to escape, even if you have to run away. So, you know, how does a family deal with dynamics like that when one person is a narcissist and everybody else cowers to their treatment, and children don't know how to get away from it because the other parent is docile and accepting it?
Well, the thing about this is, like I was saying before we went to break, I wanted to really break down the characteristics and, you know, behaviors of narcissism, because it's such a wide race, because it's mild, moderate, and severe. So, you know, we don't start the mild. The mild is, again, just wanting to be important. I'm significant. What I say is more important than what you say, you know, and I'm not emotionally available to you, because if I allow you to think that you're right, then I won't be right. Then I would not be the lead of the relationship. I want to be the lead, because it's my duty. And you're often hear that, especially again with men. You hear men will say, you know, they even use a religious tactic. In the Bible, it said a woman's supposed to submit to a, you know, a man. So, you know, that being said, then they will take that, just that little phrase right there, and they will blow that out of proportion. And that doesn't mean, again, that I'm supposed to surrender all to you, because I'm an emotional being,
especially
just like you are, you know what I'm saying? But again, I don't want, like I said, if I have low self-esteem in the marriage, which means that I don't even know who I am, I'm struggling by my, I'm still dealing with my inner child trauma. So, you know, because as a parent, that any, let me just get this out of the way, narcissistic behavior is from inner child trauma, period. Okay? That's where it comes from, right? So as it transitions, you know, it transitions into families because that's where someone will, marry a narcissist. Will two narcissists come together? It is very, very doable. It can happen. So you have combustions like this. People just be arguing and going back and forth. Okay, and the kids be like, oh, my goodness, you know, we can't never have an ounce of peace. Because everybody wants to be the head. Nobody wants to be the tail, you know, and nobody wants to walk side by side. So this is a struggle. And then you got them like, you have the narcissist, which is the moderate, you know what I'm saying, that want to actually have adulterous affairs and still want you to stay in the relationship. And you have a sexless marriage. They think you just don't want to have sex with them, but no, it's not that. They're having sex with someone else. Mm. And they make you think that you are the problem. No, I can't love you because you're not there for me and you're never there for them. They'll find a way to manipulate you to make you feel you are never there for them. You're always, you know, focused on something. You're too focused on kids. You're too focused on the job or whatever the case may be. You're not there for me. And they'll slowly but surely find themselves in another bedroom, okay? Because then that's the way, again, they are not emotionally available. So people who are not emotionally available don't feel other people. Until they come to themselves. Oh, wow, I've been doing this. I have done this to myself. And my God, what have I done to someone else? Here we go. Okay, here the light bulb come on, right? Light bulb comes on. You have to realize all this time, you see what I'm saying? I've been going through all of this stuff, and I've been hurting people. And that's how, you know, they have to come, you know, hurting people emotionally, mentally. Leading also to what they call the severe narcissism. Severe narcissism pushes people to a point to where they feel they don't even need to live anymore. They start to create suicidal ideation.
Wow.
Well, if I don't, or it'll go the opposite way. Oh, I'm going to kill the narcissist. I'll kill myself if you leave me. Okay? So this is when things start to, you know, spin totally out of control. Then you get, here comes domestic violence. Here comes criminality. Here comes murder-side. We call it murder-side. When suicide and murder meets, that's murder-side. So if we was to take a statistic, now you may find out how many families were destroyed and the person that was holding the gun, were they a narcissist?
Wow.
You know, I'm just saying, I haven't done the research, but maybe I need to do it. If it can just help soothe, you know, or heal a family, you know, because narcissism is real. It is a mental disorder. It is real. And again, if you don't heal from that inner child area, you have to heal from that inner child area before you can really see the bigger picture of your own actions. Otherwise, you don't see it.
Right. Yeah, I guess what's sticking in my mind is what you said, narcissism is an inner child trauma. So until that person can heal whatever happened in their childhood that produced the wounded person that is then inflicting pain on others, they won't even see what they're doing. And more than likely what they're doing to others is what was done to them. So the way we were raised is really a critical thing. What did our parents leave us with in terms of a sense of self-esteem and value of ourselves? And are we spending our whole life trying to undo the inner damage to our self-esteem by putting someone else down? And that's what a narcissist does.
Our Facebook viewer, Vienna Robinson, stated, I've had several narcissists come into my life. Grateful for the experience, which has helped me recognize quickly that energy. And Jody said, my mom let me learn from my mistakes. It was hard for her, but she surrendered to my growth.
Yeah, that's a hard thing
Absolutely.
Sometimes for parents to do, especially when they see mm-hmm. you even making a mistake that they made, and they try to warn you. But you have to learn from your decisions so that you learn how to even recognize traits in people. You learn how to recognize when someone is narcissistic or when someone is demeaning. You learn that love doesn't hurt. If someone is not able to express love in a way that makes you feel better, then what they're expressing isn't love. If you're always feeling bad, you always find out you're depressed, you're always feeling like you're defective, and they're thinking, well, I'm going to motivate you to try harder by putting you down.
Right.
Because that's how they were raised. That's what they learned. But that's not what you want to feel. And you don't want to have to always adjust to that treatment to hold on to somebody. And why are you holding on to somebody that's hurting you?
I also want to put out there is that narcissism affects a marriage by 60% in far as in divorce rate. So once the individuals that are affected by this, actually, if they're not willing to work through, they have to be willing to work through it. They have to be doing something actively, mentally, emotionally to work through it. Otherwise, if they're like I call it the sitting duck. You know what I'm saying? Which just allows it to happen and not do anything, then it's just going to fester. It's just going to fester. And I think Kofi said something earlier I want to address. He said, I'm just looking for somebody to meet me halfway. Mm-hmm. Right? So the dialogue is just what it is. You know, do you know what that means to meet halfway? That means that you and the person have to have movement towards the situation, circumstance, repercussion, or consequence. So if you're dealing with an adult, then that's one thing. But children tend to don't know the balance of halfway, just by the way. Because they don't have the logical, reasonable, and even some adults don't. Because if they were traumatized, they don't even know what it means to meet halfway. Meeting halfway is to be an active listener, but you know, doing less and loving more.
Yes.
You know, and that takes a strength to do that because, again, we have, as human beings, this compatible part of us that wants to be loved, wants to feel belong, but we also want control, and that's called Lotus Control, L-O-T-U-S. Lotus Control is in everyone. You know, we want to be able to lead. You know, to a certain degree. It's just normal, self-preservation. Nobody doesn't want to follow all the time. You know
right,
what I'm saying? So
right.
We want to lead. And as we lead, we want somebody, can you see me leading? I'm leading here. I need to be acknowledged for leading. I want to be validated for leading. You know, and if we don't get that validation, we will feel minimized, and
right.
People don't like to know. How dare you minimize me?
No one likes to be minimized.
If we feel good, no one wants to be minimized. When his daughter said, Dad, you always buy me something, which means, Dad, you're always trying to buy me, but I need you to listen to me.
Right. And sometimes people think that showing love is buying something. And for whatever reason, maybe because they had parents who didn't buy them something or, you know, just the idea, or maybe they've been criticized for not buying. You know, money is always used in many ways to either put down someone or control someone. So that itself is sometimes a childhood trauma that we haven't gotten over, whether it's feeling deprived as a child because we were made to feel poor, maybe we were made fun of, maybe we had a parent who wasn't financially secure, and so our equating competency as a parent is being able to buy your children something, and some people overdo it and overindulge, and they still don't understand how to love. They just know how to buy things, and if a child complains, they say, well, didn't I buy you this? I bought you that. You should behave because I bought you something. And that's not the same as rearing your child, buying them things. But if you don't know,
no.
You don't know. We got a couple of callers on the line. Maybe we can get to one or two before we take a break. I'm going to go to 312-671. Your mic is open. Thank you for joining us on Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. Give us your name and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green regarding our subject today. Go right ahead.
Thank you. Rayon Yashalom. That means we are one in God. Dr. Debbie Green and beloved Sister Naima Latif. And the Female Solution is the world's greatest radio, blog, TV station in the nation. This is Brother Minister Trump, Robert Floyd Trump, Chicago, Illinois.
Yes,
first
sir.
Of all, I want to know, how do you spell that word, narcissism?
Bring it down. Narcissism. How do you spell that, Dr. Debbie?
It's N-A-R-C-I-S-S-I-S-M. What is narcissism?
Narcissism. And a narcissist is...
It's spelled a little differently. It's N-A-R-C-I-S-T-I-C. It's two S's in there.
Narcissist. So, yes.
Narcissist and narcissism.
Yes. You're either a narcissist or you're practicing narcissism, which I think in the dictionary is kind of defined as it's self-love or something like that, but it really is.
Self-importance. Egotistical.
Exaggerated egotism, exaggerated self-importance, where you think you're more important than everyone else, and so you don't care how you treat other people.
And I know we were talking about it related to, but is he still there?
Yes. So you were replying, Minister Plump?
Yes. I know people like that in my family, you know, and I have... experience, and you know, that's something that you all have discussed too. Experience becomes our best teacher, you know, and I think that the greatest person is the person that's within inside of themselves that discover the most important person that is living, and that is within themselves. And you know, listening is a key to success. You know, not only listening is the key to success, but I would also say that a key to success is on different levels, you know, in different strokes for different folks. Education is the key to success. Children is the greatest key to all of our success for our past, present, and our future to share the idea that success is success breeds success. And I want to also reflect on, you know, something that's coming up, which is a unique purpose. That is the purpose of 9 days of hell, which is educational, archives, and it is a time that we can highlight the Honorable Mayor Hal Lee Washington legacy. And happy belated Earth Day birthday, Sister Naima. I know that you on the same day as Mayor Hal Lee Washington Earth Day birthday. And we are going to have a community reflection of plumping up Chicago, America, and the world in peace, love, unity, and the people. And we are going to have a viewpoint of what her whole concept concerning the community as part of the grassroots. And we've been doing these 9 days, and today we are on number six, which is Hal, his birth, and his death. We got 3 more days after that, which is crime and educational health, and the legacy of Mayor Washington continues, and the victory of April 12, 1983. We got the music, and the music came with not only Mel Washington, but also with Dr. King. And it was Mayor L. E. Washington that did the legislation. Yes, ma'am.
We got to take a break, so you need to tell us where.
Okay.
Take a break. So what
okay.
location?
Yes, ma'am. Well, we're going to be at Lake Grove Village. Which is really going to be that's our office complex, and we're going to be at the Washington Park Field House at 1 o'clock. That's 5531 South King Drive, and that's in the rear.
Who are not. Okay. Yeah. Well, thank you so much, Minister Plum. We appreciate you, as always. Thank you so very much. We're going to take a break. And area code 773-960, you're next. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in a while. And and we'll continue with Dr. Debbie Green and Soulful Solutions. And we're taking a look at narcissism. Are you self-absorbed? Are you treating other people as if they don't matter? Think about it. We'll be right back after this quick break. So stay with us.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Have you ever dreamed of going to exotic places, meeting fascinating people, enjoying uplifting music, and spending nights in a luxurious hotel? Do you look forward to a relaxing vacation where you can walk along the beach or sit in a quiet park and enjoy the sunset or sunrise? Whether you're flying around the world or driving across the country, we will share travel tips that will help you stay safe while you enjoy the journey. Join me every third Saturday of the month, 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Standard Time, and move around with Deborah here on the Female Solutions Show. Call in and comment 515-605-9325 and press 1 to speak.
Hey, it's time to take charge of your health. I'm Viata, your holistic life coach, and every Friday morning at 8 a.m. Eastern Daylight Time, I'm here on The Female Solution to empower you to make choices that will assist your evolution to abundant health. I'm also blogging every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time at Soul Purpose Healing, where I bring you a spiritual chiropractic adjustment to bring you back into alignment with our Creator's love, compassion, and wisdom. Join me every Friday morning at 8 a.m. and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for a time of unity, enlightenment, and love vibrations. Shalom.
Oh,
Welcome back to Soulful Solution. My name is Dr. Debbie Green with my wonderful co-host, Naima Latif, our executive producer of The Female Solution. Again, our topic of today is narcissism. And how I think Jody asked a question. She said, What do you think about kids raised by narcissists? They're very manipulated. Children are actually, again, not in a good place when it comes to narcissists.
So either they're going to learn to be one or they're going to be the victims of one.
Well, they mold them. They literally, yes, they either want to be one. They want them. They look at them as themselves. They don't look at them as individuals that have different personalities. They just, they look, they're like, you should act the way I act. You should be what, like a, if it's a man narcissist, he expects that from his son and vice versa. You know, they don't look at them as being their own individual person, you know, and narcissism, if they are, if the child is, as they grow up, become rebuttal or, you know, debatable, you know, like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to, the narcissist is most likely tend to be very verbally and mentally assaultive as well, possibly as well as physically. And if they're, I noticed that even if they're losing their children, if in a marriage, the narcissist will act as though in the courtroom, like everything is okay until they get that child behind closed doors. And then they kind of, and then that's when they really do a work on them mentally and emotionally. Most of their damage is done mentally and emotionally to that person, more so than physically. I mean, they can go into physical abuse, but it's to the greatest magnitude is the mental and emotional, which is the, I mean, you can heal from wounds, you know, but the emotion and the mental damage, that's the hardest thing to heal from.
And I think positive
when it comes to children,
because you don't always realize that you're wounded. You know, you ever wake up in the morning with you know, and then you suddenly realize you got, you know, scratches on your leg or something. You're like, how did this happen? And then you realize maybe you had a spring or something sticking out of your mattress, and it was scraping you all night, and you didn't know you were wounded. But then just in the shower or something, you realize, oh wow, well, how did that happen? So, you know, it's kind of like when you've been wounded, you don't realize it often that it's there, because that's just what happened in your household, and you didn't know that constantly being called stupid or put down in some kind of way, or told, you know, you're too fat, you know, you need to step away from that cake, you know, and just everything that parents may say that could be very demeaning to you. You're a child. You don't have the psychological defenses to fight back, so you just take the hit.
Right.
And you don't know that you're wounded until maybe you get into an adult relationship, and then all of that pain surfaces in your own behavior by the way you relate to your own spouse, and you're really reacting to what you experienced with your parents. So.
Right. Yeah. And you get into, I think, she also had another question, do they become people pleasers? Yeah, they become very codependent because they lack self-esteem and lack self-identity. Because remember, the brain is just absorbing all of the environmental stimuli from early on, early stages. And this also, I want to mention this before the show is over, they gaslight you, okay? Gaslighting came from a term of actions long time ago, from when people were doing something. And I think it was also a movie at one point as well.
Yeah, basically, when I think the it had to do with a woman and her husband, and he was dismissing.
Right.
What she was saying, I think the lights would be flickering on and off because of the gas, and he was doing it.
Uh-huh.
And when she would and he would treat her like she was imagining it.
Right.
To try to make her think she was crazy.
So the term gaslighting came from that film, I think, when someone's trying to make you feel like you're imagining things when you try to tell them that they're doing something to you or something's happening and they...
Or said something.
Or saying something. Yes. Yeah, so,
right.
So when people are making you feel like it's your imagination or you're overreacting when they're actually saying things that are hurtful and...
Right.
They won't...
And deny it.
Then they deny it.
They deny it like that. Yes.
So
they deny it. They said it and they'll come back and say, no, I didn't say that.
Yeah.
You know they
exactly
did it.
Right, you know they did. So if you grow up in a household like that where your feelings are dismissed, then what you end up doing is learning how to avoid the pain of having people say bad things. So that's how you end up being a people pleaser. You want to make sure that you don't attract any criticism, or you always keep people from talking down to you, or you swallow your own hurt feelings and you do whatever people ask you to do because you're afraid that if you don't, they're going to attack you verbally and then you're going to feel bad. But you already know that nobody's going to address your bad feeling because they never did, because they dismissed your feelings. So you learn to not acknowledge your own feelings, basically, and just swallow them and
right.
Do what people want you to do.
You suppress,
yeah,
tremendously. And you look from a platform of, you know, I don't matter, but you matter.
Yeah, I don't matter.
You know what I'm saying? So I love for X, you know, I am supposed to do what you expect me to do.
Mm-hmm.
And when I don't do that, sometimes I get angry, I feel grudgeful, I feel like, you know, I beat myself up, you know what I'm saying? I get guilty, I get shameful. I go back into the inner child. That child feeling very insecure, you know, and then you get to some, you know, a lot of them would get angry, and they'll say, well, yeah, I'm mad at you anyway, you know what I'm saying? Instead of just saying, I see that you have this action that is trying to demean me, and if I accept that as personal hurt, which means if I accept you personally, I will always go into that trap door. You see what I'm saying? Because that's what a narcissist does.
Mm-hmm.
He wants that person to be codependent so that
right.
he can, or she can have their way in their own ways. They whatever they choose to do, be it right or wrong, if it's in a heterosexual relationship, married couple, it'll be like, you know, oh, I know you're cheating. Oh, no, I'm not. I'm not cheating on you. Well, we don't have a lifestyle of a healthy sexual intimacy. So if you're not doing it with me, who are you doing it with? Oh, you caused this. You caused this to happen. Because you don't understand where I'm coming from. You don't, and it's not that. It's that they're doing other things.
Yeah. Yeah, that's kind
they're
of
they're doing
a,
other things. Yeah, I think one more thing, then we're going to take a call.
Yeah.
Vienna Robinson's asking, what does it mean to be an enabler? An enabler is when you are constantly allowing people, like it's two sides of that story. You are allowing people to do what they want to do in your life, and it's dysfunctional, or you are helping people or assisting people to be dysfunctional. So you can enable a person, but you also can allow them as enabling when it comes to you.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, you know it's dysfunctional. You know it's the wrong thing to do, but you do it anyway because you're passive aggressive.
Yeah.
So now you are enabling that particular behavior. You see what I'm saying? Instead of standing and say, wait a minute, no, this is wrong.
And
I am not doing this,
right.
Period.
And, you know, fussing at somebody, that's not the same thing as changing the situation. You can have a relationship where maybe somebody drinks and they come home drunk all the time, and then you fuss about it and you fight about it, but they come home drunk again. So that's just a pattern of a dysfunctional relationship. If you don't like
their
drinking,
yeah, when it comes to addiction,
and they're not going to get help, and the only way you And you keep thinking that if you attack them for it, that's going to change, but it doesn't. But all they do is just drink more or maybe come home later so that you're in bed so that you can't attack them. But the relationship, that's what it is. That's not changing it. You have to choose to let someone get help and leave the relationship so that they can either live with themselves that way and you can be in a healthy environment, or, you know, they will choose, they'll choose to get help while they're by themselves or they won't. But you will not be there because you're still enabling. Even if you fuss at them all the time, you're still enabling because you're still there. And and you've chosen to stay with someone with an addiction, and your reaction, your negative reaction, isn't changing their behavior. And all you're doing is agreeing to stay in a miserable situation and being angry.
Right.
So
yeah,
that just is enabling.
Yes. Yes.
You can't change someone. They have to choose to change themselves. And you fussing at them and calling them names and being angry, and that doesn't do anything but just keep you in a dysfunctional relationship.
Well, a lot of times we feel as people that are experiencing these type of things that if we don't speak up, then we're not heard. You see what I'm saying? In some kind of way. And we get frustrated when we're not being heard, when that person is not changing. And so we find ourselves screaming, yelling, getting upset, and the person that's getting upset is you.
Right.
You know, and so you're raising your stress tolerance to the roof.
Right.
You're in distress because of what you see and what you hear, and it's not what you want. You see what I'm saying? It's not what you think that should be, and you find yourself doing it, and the other person, either they're going to acknowledge what you're saying, or they're just going to keep doing what they're doing.
Right, right. If you don't want to experience it, then move away from it. That's how
I mean, after a period, but the question is how long, and I would like to ask somebody, how long should one stay in a relationship that they know narcissism is present? I mean, like you said, well, maybe they didn't
how
know,
long you want to suffer?
Or they weren't aware.
You can
how could you not
you
know?
Like.
You feel it. It's a feeling you get when someone demeans you or dumbs you down or gaslights you in any way. It is a feeling, a very, very intense feeling. Mm-hmm. So you get used, okay, as one of my clients told me, and she's in a 4-year relationship, and that relationship is toxic. Mm-hmm. Before she got married, she was fine. She didn't have no chronic illnesses whatsoever, no mental illness, nothing. 4 years later, her whole body is fell apart.
Your body is a communication vehicle. It's telling you when you are.
It's telling you. You're in this relationship. You're being ignored. You're being, you know, demeaned. It's always your fault. It's always, everything is wrong with you, mentally, emotionally. Everything is, you try to complain. You try to get your point across. But still, it's still not being taken advantage of, you know? And right when you think that, it's like, well, do you love me or do you not love me? Are you self-loathed? Remember, a narcissist does not know how to love.
Right, that's it. They
don't even love themselves. How
right.
can they love you?
Right, they don't know how. And it comes as an exaggerated egotism, but really it's the opposite of what it is on the inside. That's why it's so.
And they may go back and forth. They may go back and forth as you are developing to help them. Like, hey, look at me. I'm over here, and I'm not feeling your love right here. Mm. Something's happening, and I feel so far away from you. You know what I'm saying? And it makes me angry because I feel this way. So how do we heal this mechanism? How do we heal this behavior? Well, one thing about it is it's not so much you've got to give them what they give you, because that sure is not going to help.
Right.
It's just that you have to, again, soothing and talking to them in a loving way to let them know You know what I'm saying? I see this is the action that you have been doing for a period of time. Now, you have one or two choices here. You can continue this action, or the relationship is going to end. It's, there's no, you know, there's no other way to handle it. Or are you just going to stay in it and you'll be, the enabler,
right,
of this relationship? Because it's not going to get any better until you come to source. How much are you going to take? If it's changing, and it looks like it's changing, I mean, it really, and consistency. Because change is not here, there, then it goes back. Here, there, then. No, that's not change. Consistent is when you're going to see change. Mm-hmm. You coming to me and saying, hey, you know, I know what you feel, or I am concerned about you. I want to know what you feel. Tell me what you feel. It's not just what I feel, but I want to know what you feel. I want us to sit down mutually and come up with a mutual understanding. I will keep my position. You keep yours, and let's talk about what we feel and what we think and come to a mutual understanding, a middle ground. That's right. That half loaf there, Mr. Kofi,
right.
A middle ground. So if we do get into any rough ties, disagreements, disappointments, we can still come back to that negotiating state.
Right.
But a severe narcissist, he don't negotiate.
Right.
It's just what it is. Cutting
right.
Something.
Yes, if you can't.
I don't have to listen to you.
Right. That, I mean, if you can't have a conversation where both of you listen to each other, then that lets you know that's not a relationship you can repair. You have to be both willing to listen, not just have your point of view and they shut up and listen and then that's the end of it, or they have their point of view and you shut up and listen and that's the end of it. There has to be a give and take where you both listen and acknowledge the other person's feelings. And if you're talking to somebody who will not express feelings, will just give you a bunch of criticism of what's wrong with you, then they're stuck being exactly where they are. And there's nothing you can do about that because they're choosing not to see.
I want to definitely take those calls if there are any, but you cannot be aggressive handling. Let me say this real quickly. You cannot be aggressive handling a narcissist. It's just going to make it worse.
Yeah.
And you cannot be passive aggressive.
Yeah.
You got to be assertive.
Yeah.
If you're not assertive, you cannot be passive. You cannot be aggressive. You cannot be passive aggressive. You have to be assertive. You have to take your position, and you have to tell them your why.
Yeah.
Let that stand. And don't move. If you move, because they're going to try to make you move in some kind of way, by anger, disgust, feeling guilty, feeling shameful.
Yeah.
No, don't move. Say, you know what? I'm not doing this today. This is not happening. This is my stance.
Stand your
this
ground.
Is what I believe, and that's it.
Right. Well, you want to take area code 773-960. Give us your name, where you're calling from, and your question or comment for Dr. Debbie Green.
Well, this is Prince Cookie James calling back. I want to applaud you guys. You guys should have another show on this because I think this is deep. My mother told me when I was a young child, she said, don't be so spiritually minded when you're not earthly good. In other words, stop trying to think you're more than somebody else because you'd never be no good. And that's what people do. You know, your shoes ain't right. Or, you know, we're looking down on someone. And I learned that from blogging my Facebook page for 15 years. You know, I was just talking and teaching until I said, hey, y'all, teach me something. That's when it all broken up. People start saying, thank you. Let us teach.
Yeah.
You know, so if a narcissist knows all and want to be all, sometimes they just have to sit back and let others teach. Let others talk and listen. That's what a psychology does. Just listen.
Yeah,
because listening, because you know what? I'm gonna stop talking. When you listen to a person, they'll say the answer that they're looking for.
That's true. That's true.
Isn't that real?
Absolutely. Thank you so much for that bit of wisdom, because a lot of times that's how counseling works. When you allow a person to talk it out, eventually they come up with a realization themselves. And Viata says, thank you, Kufi, for sharing and being honest and transparent. Yes. You know, a lot of times men are made to feel like they're not supposed to ever admit to any weakness or fault or not knowing something. And that's one of the reasons why we have our men-only discussion every Wednesday, to give men a chance to talk to each other and admit to each other that they go through pain. They have difficulties. They still have childhood wounds. They've messed up relationships. And we, the women, we're listening, but we don't interject our thoughts, because we want to give them the feeling that they're talking among each other and not being judged by us. And then we'll have an after show afterwards to talk about what we heard. But really, we want to help men get to the point where they're able to admit that they are wounded and need to heal before they can have a healthy relationship. And that, I think that it starts with them being able to be honest with each other.
Mm-hmm. I think so. And again, it's a...
Yes.
Right. It's a humbling effect.
Yes.
And you should, and that's what it's supposed to be. You learn more when you're humble than when you're not prideful. So I think that's it's a beautiful thing. And, you know, we are supposed to be servants, you know, and it's not, it's nothing, you know, the service is higher than the master.
Yeah.
Because it takes a point of reference within a human being to realize, I am here to serve. I am here to serve family. I am here to serve myself. I'm here to serve even strangers. And it's okay. And serving means to be an active listener, to be emotionally available whenever necessary, to have empathy, not the sympathy, not the pity, but have empathy. Let me feel you, and let me walk a day in your shoes.
Yeah.
If I don't know what that feels like or thing, then describe that to me. Let me help me to listen. Help me learn how to listen to you. Even if I haven't been listening, you don't think I've been listening? Okay, help me to listen. What should I do so I can have to listen from my heart, not from just my ears? I want to listen from my heart. I want to feel what your words feel like when you say them, you know? And I want to receive them how you want me to receive them. And as I do that, then I'm really learning the innermost parts of you, not just what I think you are. You know, I'm learning who you really are. Mm-hmm. And I think if every human being did that to each other, no matter how young, how smart, the world would be a much better place.
Absolutely. Yes, it would. So let's make it so.
Let's do it, the female solution.
So someone texted me on Messenger and said, so what is the solution? Well, we've been talking about it all show. So if you missed it, just play it back.
All the shows talk about solutions.
Yes, every show.
Hey.
Go in the archives. And you will hear solutions all throughout the show. And Jody says truth. Absolutely, yes.
Learn how to love again.
Learn how
That's
to
all. Love Learning how to love again. If we love unconditionally, I call it the neutral zone. Keep yourself neutral. There's not a wrong. There's not a right. Let me stay neutral. We gain more knowledge when we're neutral.
Yes, not judgmental.
Less words.
Absolutely.
No judgmental, no assumptions, just neutral. I don't even look at you as any different way. I just look at you as the way you are. Love you just the way you are. That's it.
That's it.
I think that's the one.
Women have the power to.
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/thefemalesolution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe, India, Zanyaba, Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Dziękuję, France, Merci, Spain, Gracias, Italy, Grazie, Egypt, Shukran, Ghana, Medasi, Nigeria, Eshe, South Africa, Ngiyabonga, Senegal, Jerez, Kenya, Asante, Israel, Toda, Pakistan, Shukriya, Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you, and may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.